Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, sitting in for Mike. Mike, under the weather tonight. Our call-in number here, 800-989-1480. Peter Werby with you, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan, and all over the world via the Nova M Radio stream, right? I'd like to dedicate this program to jazz master drummer Max Roach, who died today at 83 years old. Max Roach played with Thelonious Monk, Duke Ellington, Miles Davis. Here, according to fellow music legend Quincy Jones, Max was one of the founders and original members of the A-Team of Bebop. Max Roach started when he was about 16, playing with some of the greats of jazz. And Quincy Jones said, outside of losing a giant and an innovator, I've lost a great, great friend. He says, thank God he left a piece of his soul on his recordings so that we'll always have a part of him with us. Max Roach passes away at 83. We'd be playing that all night if I had my way. Unfortunately, I only have Max Roach on LPs. Remember those things? Flat, black, and plastic? Yeah. Mike is out. He needs our help. So come on, we're going to send him what he needs, some great thoughts. For all you old hippies, does that include me? We're going to send them some good vibes, right? And there's got to be a lot of Wiccans and pagans out there. Well, you cast some spells and chant some incantations and send him what he needs to bring him back to good health. Even you Christians, come on, because there's the good Christians. They're not all like those evil ones in the White House the ones that support him, the punitive ones, the racist ones, the warmongering Christians. Unfortunately, well, I don't know. I don't know if we can say whether or not what proportion they're in. They sure make the biggest noise, don't they? They sure do. So it seems like that's all there are. Well, most of the Christians that I know, even though I'm an atheist, Mike's an atheist, most of the Christians I know are the stalwarts of the peace and social justice movement. And they do good work. And they're not, you know, the 19th century labor movement and radical movements, the anarchists and the socialists, they would refer to the Christians of the evangelicals, what they called God pests, you know, like a pest, God pests. Well, the Christians I know and the Muslims I know and the Jews I know aren't like that. They work out their spirituality, their religiosity by the good works they do and by setting an example, not for always wanting somebody dead. All right. Well, we're going to have joining us. I don't mean to pause like that. Mike's signature phrase about the Bush crime family. My wife said, I got a call pretty late from Kathy Malloy, and she said, gee, can you do Mike's show? And I said, sure. And my wife said, well, you can be able to get this together? And I said, hey, all I got to do is turn on, or not even turn on, just go to any website, news website, and there are the crimes of the day, the crimes du jour of the Bush crime family. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's extraordinary. I suppose what's the most extraordinary is that he hasn't, and Bush Co., what I call Bush Co., Bush Incorporated, the racket, the financial racket, posing as a government, that they haven't been run out by now, that there hasn't been popular expression that we've seen in so many other countries. I mean, they stole both elections, 2000 and 2004, so we can't depend on the ballot box. But the fact that there is not millions and millions and millions of us in the street saying Bush out just always surprises me. Reese Ehrlich is going to join us at 35 minutes after this hour. We're going to be talking about Iran, now that the United States government is saying it will declare the Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. Gee, anybody got any ideas about what other government could be in that category? Did you see the news tonight? I actually never watch the news. As far as I'm concerned, listen, I'm in this business, and I got to know what's going on. I have to get information. I have to know what I'm talking about. So the fact that so many, here's another thing that surprised me, so many of you spend time watching CNN or MSNBC or any of those cables, let alone the faux news, FAUX, I think a lot of you just almost watch it for laughs. But that's time wasted. Now, I'm not I don't mind wasting time watching television, but I want to waste time, if you will, watching the Detroit Tigers pummel the New York Yankees as they're doing tonight. But that's, you know, mindless entertainment. That's not wasting my time because I'm enjoying it. But mindless entertainment, that's what television is good for. Or, you know, some adventure film or something like that. But you can't learn much about it. I mean, everything, people say, oh, the History Channel, it's all 101. I mean, you got to read books for all of this, right? And it's not a lost art with most of us that want to know what's going on. But I'm telling you, maybe you know, this is a little presumptuous of me to tell you how to spend your time. But in my estimation, watching the news on television is worthless in terms of getting information. Interesting visuals often, I have to admit. But anyway, when I do shows, what I want to see is what's being positioned as what the MSM, the mainstream media, the MSM sees as important. What it's going to dictate is the important issue of the day. And both the channels that I watch, ABC and NBC, both led with the financial markets and the roller coaster ride that they're on. It's now a correction. It lost about 10% in value. Actually, it's gone up a little because it only lost about 50 points today. But I was watching Maria Bartiromo. That's it, Maria Bartiromo. And she was on Brian Williams, NBC News. And she was, I'm thinking, what does she do other than being this economic analyst? Does she announce NASCAR races or something like that? She was delighted. Oh, boy, it was down in the dumps. And then it, right at the last moment, the bargain hunters came in. I'm thinking, wow. There's all these lives being ruined around the world. And I don't care about the stock traders or the rich people or the big players in this ridiculous crap game called the stock market. But all this affects little people, right? The average people, because probably, 98% of us are the little people of the world. And when anything goes wrong, when there's a correction, we're the ones that get corrected. Oh, maybe they lose a bit, but don't they always bounce back, to be sure. Now, Jose Padilla, I guess they're calling him Padilla, right? I didn't even see that. That didn't even lead. He's a U.S. citizen that was declared an enemy combatant. I mean, this is one of the impeachable offenses that Bush stands accused of, that illegal detention. George Bush has acted to strip Americans of their constitutional rights by ordering indefinite detention of citizens. Now, whatever Jose Padilla, it's hard for me to call him Padilla. Jose Padilla, whatever he may or may not have been guilty of, and I didn't follow the details of the case. I mean, there's a lot of people are involved in this jihad stuff, so he could have very well have been. But the case was fatally flawed by the fact that he was held incommunicado for 3.5 years, was denied access to counsel. I cannot believe that the trial judge did not throw this out. Hey, by the way, anytime you want to jump in and give me your opinion, please do. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 800-989-1480. But we have a little document here called the Bill of Rights, right? Amendment number 6 says in all criminal prosecutions. Now, there's no qualifiers here. There's no qualifier. It says in all. I mean, I know what all means, don't you? You do. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. A speedy and public trial. Now, why did these rich white men in the late 18th century put that in? I mean, did they just think, oh, well, you know, maybe sometime some unimagined little occurrence will go down and people? No, they had experience with tyrannical government. They knew absolutist governments from Europe, and they knew the malign power that governments had to just take people and take him away. If Jose Padilla was guilty of anything, why wasn't he tried immediately? Because this is not about Jose Padilla. Forgetting about the whole deal, they wanted to announce it. They caught this guy, you know, with this dirty bomb and terrorism. I mean, that was just part of the fright scare techniques that Bush was taking part in back in the last few years. But this was another step, another brick in the wall of repressive government that destroys the Constitution. This is why it is so important to impeach George W. Bush. Jose Padilla, no matter what he's guilty of, should have his conviction overturned, and hopefully, can we hope with this Supreme Court in there, that justice will prevail, not for Jose Padilla. Well, I guess for him as well, because, I mean, think of what this man suffered. They may have destroyed his personality by the sophisticated and unsophisticated tortures that were practiced on him when he was held incommunicado for 2 years. That even if somebody's a guilty murderer and the cops beat a confession out of them, even if someone is a guilty murderer and they had illegal searches, we understand that the rule of law that does not allow the state repressive apparatus to do this is more important than the conviction. All right, tell me what you think. 800-989-1480. This is Nova M Radio Network, The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. Welcome back. Peter Werbe with you on the Nova M Radio Network, sitting in for Mike Malloy. 800-989-1480. In just about 15 minutes or so, we're going to be talking with Rhys Ehrlich about Iran, a new book he's written. Hey, Jenna, the party animal, Bush's daughter, is engaged. I know this is going to shock you, but she's married to, let's see, what's his first name here? Hager. What's his first name? He must have a first. Henry. Henry Hager. Yeah, he's going to be marrying Jenna Bush. I guess she's sowed her wild oats. But what we want to know, of course, is why didn't she ever join the service? Oh, yeah, it's a volunteer army. We'll talk a little more about Romney's famous remark about his sons have chosen their way to serve the country by trying to get him elected president. That's not going away, and there's a new aspect to it. In the meantime, let's go to our phones, 800-989-1480. And here is Arnold's in San Francisco listening to the quake. Arnold, hi, it's Peter Werbe subbing for Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Well, you know, I'll try to be concise. You know, I hear a lot of people, including yourself, talk about impeachment. But then when it gets down to it, most of the conventions, you know, the mavens of conventional thinking, including, you know, Bernie Sanders the other day went unchallenged. But, you know, they're all saying, no, it's impossible. There's not a single senator willing to really come out and say he'll support it. And you got a Nancy Pelosi that took it off the table.
Right.
And so we need to do something about it, not besides just talk about it, and just say there's nothing we can do, because there is. You know, we can hold these people accountable. We're the deciders here. They're our employees. Now,
absolutely.
Out here in San Francisco, everybody I know, we're going to be working for Cindy Sheehan, because she's got some skin in the game. And she knows that going with the flow and more Democratic bullshit, it's not going to get those troops home anytime soon, because they cave every time.
Well, I don't know why Nancy
Pelosi. So we're going to support Cindy Sheehan, and we're going to get rid of Nancy Pelosi. She's going.
Well, wait a minute. Here's a better idea.
The Republicans won't.
Wait. Here's a better idea. Why doesn't Nancy Pelosi support impeachment, get rid of the two of the top arch criminals, Bush and Cheney?
She
then becomes president, and then Cindy becomes the representative. Doesn't that work, sweet?
Cindy Sheehan won't be Speaker of the House.
I didn't say she would be Speaker of the House, but thank you. Appreciate your call. Let's see, where do we want to go next? I got to get comfortable with this little system here again. Here's Susan in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Susan. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. I'm sorry to hear Mike's under the weather.
Yeah.
Again,
hopefully he will be back tomorrow.
And I have to say that WINC Miami has chosen to air a baseball game instead of the Mike Malloy program.
Yikes. You know, there's a station in Detroit that doesn't air, Mike, that should, but the same thing. I wanted to tune in to see who was on there, and there they got the Shock, which is the women's WNBA team. Yeah, I mean, that's why. And then these stations will say, oh, you know, we're not getting enough listeners. Yeah,
yep.
It's because people like us, we turn, you know, you tell your friends, hey, this is a great liberal talk radio station, and then they, you know, they tune in and there's a basketball game. Right. Absolutely.
I want to agree with you. I never watched the so-called news on television either. I gave it up a couple of years ago, and now I get all my current events information from either Randy Rhodes or Mike Malloy.
Well, there you go.
And about when I hear the clips of the latest crime story from the Bush crime family, that's about as long as I can stand to either look or listen to them anyway.
Yeah.
And even the NewsHour on PBS has become just opposing talking heads. He said, usually.
Well, and always.
He said, she said.
Well, but yeah, if you've seen any of the material from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the NewsHour, all those PBS shows, they're heavily skewed to the right. They usually have centrists posing as liberal. They've never had anybody, well, once in a while they'll have like Noam Chomsky on, but it's like tens of millions of us with ideas like we hold don't even exist.
And I
know. And thank the spokespeople we have, they don't exist.
I know. Thank goodness that Bill Moyers has come back on. At least we get 1 hour of left-wing thought and right. intelligent thought once a week.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Here is Tom in Santa Rosa. Tom, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
You know, I wanted to mention some things about William Rodriguez, the last man out of North Tower and the WTC, and his testimony before the King Commission that there were bombs in the building.
Yeah.
He was on Jeff Ferris on KEPX in Phoenix the other day. Well, Operation Northwoods is a similar sort of situation to 9/11. Operation Northwoods was a secondary pretext to evade Cuba after the failed Bay of Pigs thing. Joint Chiefs of Staff Lemnitzer gave it to McNamara to give to Kennedy. Kennedy refused to attack the American people as a pretext to invade Cuba a second time and told McNamara to tell Lemnitzer that he was no longer the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and fired him. So it looks like they decided to go ahead with this 9/11 PSYOP, and it would have to have presidential authorization, just the same as Operation Northwoods.
Hey, who do you think could have planted that much explosives? How large a team?
It's only two tons of explosives per tower. There was 150 Israeli spies arrested. Half of them were 200 actually. Half of them were experts in explosives.
Yeah. It doesn't seem plausible. Too many people involved. To have a conspiracy, has got to be smaller.
Listen,
it comes out. Listen, I got to go. All right, we're out of time. I know I'm part of the conspiracy, but we've just been around the bend. You want to learn all about what Tom was talking about? Go to my website, Peter Werby, WERBE.com. Go to the left side and go down and get the 911 stuff. It's all there. All right, we'll be right back with Reese Ehrlich. We're going to talk about Iran and Bush preparing to declare Iran as a foreign terrorist, the Revolutionary Guard. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, right back. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike tonight. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. I love that Ozzy Osbourne song in the background. Crazy Train. That's what this country under Bushko has become, hasn't it? Hey, the New York Times today says the Bush administration is preparing to declare that Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps is a foreign terrorist organization. It would be the first time the United States has added the armed forces of any sovereign country to its list of terrorist organizations. So figuring this stuff out myself, and certainly you're not going to, you might get more information from the New York Times, but you're never going to get an analysis worth a darn, right? Hey. I'm so clean, I said darn, didn't I? But so I know where to look. I know who to go to when I want to find out this information. So I invited Reese Ehrlich to join us. Reese Ehrlich, his history in journalism goes back 40 years. He worked as a staff writer and research editor for Ramparts. He's a full-time print and broadcast freelance reporter today. He reports regularly for CBC, ABC Australia, and lots of other networks around the world, National Public Radio as well. His book, Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You, that he co-authored with Norman Solomon, became a bestseller in 2003. And he has a book just about to come out. It's perfect for what we're talking about. The Iran Agenda, the real story of U.S. policy in the Middle East crisis. Joining me from the Bay Area, Reese Ehrlich. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you. Oh, you know what? I always forget. I got to do this, don't I? I got to be the guy to press the button. There you are, Reese. You're on the air.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm just new to radio, so it's a little difficult for me. Hey, so what's going on here? Why this sounds like more of the saber rattling?
It certainly is. What's interesting is that the supposed reason for making the Revolutionary Guard putting them on the terrorist list is to crank up pressure on them by dealing a blow to their finances. Anybody who knows anything about the situation knows that's just hokum. The Revolutionary Guard haven't had any bank accounts in the United States probably ever. They don't have separate banking deals in Western Europe. The ability of the United States to have much economic impact on them is pretty much nil. What is significant, however, is that it's part of a propaganda effort by the United States to incite public opinion in particularly Europe and in the United States as part of building up support eventually for a military attack against Iran.
Is it working, though? I mean, every poll I see said that the overwhelming majority of people want diplomacy to take the day and not more military action.
That's absolutely true, and I'm not saying for sure they will bomb Iran, but it's an active plan in the White House that's being debated back and forth. And you'll notice that they're pretending to go through the motions of diplomacy. So they've met twice with the Iranians, and lo and behold, came out and said, "Oh, they're intransigent; they won't do anything," because there was no real effort in negotiations. They've gone to the UN. Passed some resolutions. Those resolutions aren't doing anything. So they say, well, we tried. Nobody in the UN will listen to us. We've got to go do it on our own. So it's part of a policy or part of a series of moves to try to later justify a more militant or military unilateral action by the U.S.
Now, Reese Ehrlich, this is a little unusual that the Bush administration would declare an armed force of a sovereign government to a list of terrorist organizations. Now, I mean, we just heard the other day the United States has had 60 prosecutions against the members of the United States Armed Services in Iraq for murder. The Nation magazine just had a whole series or had a whole big article entitled "The Other War," in which 50 veterans detailed the crimes they committed against Iraqi civilians. I mean, this seems like something that you would think that they'd have a little. No, I guess they wouldn't, would they?
But well, you know, it does make you wonder. Like, could some other country declare the CIA a terrorist organization or branches of the U.S. military terrorist organizations? You'd have about the same argument, you know, as to what the U.S. is doing. But it just shows you that this terrorist list that the U.S. bandies about is really phony. You know, it's a mixture of groups that probably really are terrorists with groups that are seen as national liberation groups in their own home countries and have tremendous local popular support. So it's strictly political. And by putting the Revolutionary Guard on that list, it's unprecedented and meaningless all at the same time.
Yeah, well, you have always the charge by the Bush administration that Iran is meddling in Iraq, which is, and how far, oh yeah, that's right, Iraq is right on its border.
I don't know any other country that's meddling in Iraq, do you?
No.
It's just those evil Iranians.
Well, tell us a little about the geopolitical positioning of Iran, given where it sits in the Middle East and how it views what the United States is trying to accomplish.
Well, you remember, Iran and Iraq fought a very, very bitter war in the 1980s. Saddam Hussein, who was then allied with the United States, invaded Iran, blatant aggression, killed, used poison gas and horrific tactics against Iran. The Iranians hated Saddam Hussein with a purple passion, and they backed at least two significant Iranian Shia groups during that entire time and into the 90s. So Iran has a much longer history of backing opposition groups inside Iraq than the United States does. And, of course, the similar situation occurred with Afghanistan, where the Taliban and Iran were at complete odds. They almost went to war against each other. And so the United States has now made the situation wonderful for Iran by eliminating the two dictatorships on either side of Iran that were mortal enemies of Iran.
On the other hand, they're fighting wars on its eastern and western border. I mean, you can imagine China fighting a war with Mexico and a war with Canada.
Yeah, and how we would look at that, exactly. So, you know, the Iranians, are they meddling? Yeah. Is the U.S. meddling a whole lot more? Is Saudi Arabia meddling? Yeah. You know, everybody's got a little, at least a little piece of the action. The problem is that the U.S. completely exaggerates the Iranian role in order to blame them. The United States and the Bush administration can't admit that there's a genuine insurgency by the Iraqi people against the U.S. occupation. So what do? You blame outsiders. The old outside agitator argument. African-Americans in the South didn't want civil rights. It was them northerners coming in to stir them up.
Sure.
And the same thing's going on in Iran. Or Al-Qaeda, you know, who are, I guess are coming from Syria or somewhere, I don't know. So the U.S. consistently over-exaggerates the threat from Iran. Are they arming or providing some military support to some of the factions they support? Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the degree that there's some kind of a threat. If they stopped everything that they were doing tomorrow, the fighting would continue. Americans would continue dying in Iraq at the same numbers.
Iran represents no threat to the United States.
Not in the way that the United States is portraying it, that's for sure. No military threat. Iran is not going to attack the territory of the United States, for sure.
What about the idea that they're attempting to develop nuclear weapons to the extent that the United States has to have anti-missile bases in Europe? I mean, that's preposterous.
The United States might have to drop its own nuclear weapons on Iran.
Yeah.
The CIA, you know, that estimable organization, estimates that the Iranians are still 5 to 10 years away from developing nuclear weapons. They don't have them. They don't have the technology. It turns out it's really hard to develop nuclear weapons. Those centrifuges and all that technology is very difficult. In my book, I've tracked down a number of experts in the field who detail how hard it is, and the Iranians have not proven themselves particularly adept at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're that far away from making nuclear weapons, then what's the big deal? There's lots of time for diplomacy and negotiations and discussion.
Reese Ehrlich is my guest, and the book he's speaking of is about to be released. It's called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. You've been to Iraq and Iran any number of times. What a broad question to ask. I mean, what's your impression? It's probably so different than what we're fed on the nightly news.
Well, you know, the thing that I've traveled all over the Middle East, in Arab countries, in Israel and Palestine, you name it, and I go there as an American and as a Jew, and I have never run into hostility to me as an American, with one recent exception, which I was very surprised, actually, in Syria. The sentiment against the U.S. is so strong there. But that was my fourth trip to Syria, and that was the only time that happened. But I've been in Iraq. I've been in Iran. I've been, you know, walking the streets of Iran without any government officials there or anybody, you know, to follow what was going on, etc. And people were anxious to talk to an American to find out what was going on. They wanted to ask me questions about what the heck Bush was up to. And you get this feeling that there's this massive anti-Americanism throughout the Middle East and that they hate Americans. It's not true. They hate Bush.
Yeah,
they hate U.S. policy.
I'm actually surprised. I mean, given what the United States has done in the Middle East and the West has done in the Middle East for over 100 years, you would think that the resentment would be extraordinarily hard. And I think that you do find that among the jihadists, certainly.
Certainly, yeah, of course.
Of,
you know, if you hang around the right madrasa or the right outside the right mosque, sure, you'll find that sentiment. But that's not the sentiment of the ordinary people. And I went into working class and poor neighborhoods. I went into elite neighborhoods. You know, it was across the board friendly to me as an American.
Just about a minute, Reese Ehrlich. What is to be done? I mean, we've almost got we, and unfortunately, I use that pronoun advisedly. Bushco, as I call them, has involved us to such an extent that it seems like we're damned if we stay certainly, and what we've done there, and we're damned if we get out.
Yeah. 30-second answer, huh?
You know what? You don't even have that. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. Reese Ehrlich has been my guest. Check out this book when it comes.
You always ask questions and then go to the break?
I do. The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. Reese Ehrlich, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Peter.
I appreciate it. Bye now. He'll be on my Detroit show, so get a hold of me. Go to Peter Werbe, WERBE.com, and I'll hook you up with a fuller interview with him. We'll be right back on the NovaM Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the NovaM Radio Network. Peter Werby in for Mike tonight. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. In about 45 minutes, we're going to be talking with David Swanson about the future of impeachment. So stay tuned for that. And your calls at 800-989-1480. Let's go to Mark. Mark is in San Francisco. Mark, hi, it's Peter Werby in for Mike. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, Peter, I wanted to talk about Karl Rove.
Sure, please.
And Mike did a great job of really breaking him down and how horrible of an individual he was to this country.
Didn't he? I heard him last night. Or was it the night before?
Yeah. He was great. And you know what? What shows you what's wrong with the media in the United States is they should be saying how horrible this man is and what he's done to this country, the damage. He should be in jail. And this man is made called a genius. I mean, that ought to tell you how far off we are. That's a measuring stick right there of why we have the problems we have in this country. Yeah, and that shows you what the media has done.
It's amazing because they want to appear even-handed. They don't want to have the kind of strident criticisms a Mike Malloy would have. On the other hand, they never mind making strident criticisms of people, anybody left of center. In fact, anybody left of Mussolini, they're usually pretty hard on, right?
Right, Peter, but you know the thing is look at what it's causing this country. We're losing our soldiers. They're dying. You know, the economy is terrible. I mean, the damage done to this country is you'd think that they'd have some allegiance to the country they live in. But, you know?
yeah, you would. But one of the things that's happened throughout American history, that there's always been opposition press, and it's up to the rebels, it's up to the dissidents, it's up to the reformers, really, to get their message across, and to figure that the MSM, the mainstream media, either I should just say mainstream media or just call it MSM. Is that common, MSM? You know what I meant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has always lied about everything, lied about every war, lied about the goals of the people that wanted to end slavery or get women the vote or unionize or stop wars or whatever. I mean, it's been nonstop. I mean, the corporate press who represents the ideas of the ruling class, the class of rulers in this country, has always done the same thing. So, like my friends at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, fair.org, they do an amazing job of talking about how distorted and how unfair and unbalanced all the news is, not just Fox News, Fox Hole News, as we used to call it, but everything, the New York Times and PBS and the rest of it, NPR, which in the lead-up to the war we used to call nationalistic Pentagon Radio. And so it is really up to us as radicals, as reformers, as dissidents have done throughout American history to create our own media. Partly we've done it on the Internet. I mean, partly we're getting a toehold on radio. But, of course, we've got to get through the corporate thickets to be able to do it. But
you know, Peter, what's really going to be important is, as you know, Bush is trying to build up a case against Iran for some kind of military action.
Sure.
Now, what's really going to be important is, one, the press is going to play a part in this somehow. But what our Democrats have to do, if they've got to shut down the money machine going to the military complex in this country, they've got to stop funding the war. If they do not stop funding the war, this man will go into Iran and he'll do more damage.
Well, the Democrats aren't up to the task. I hate to tell you. This is a system. When we talk about the military-industrial complex, it's not like something out there. It's not some little aspect of things. It typifies the dominant culture and the dominant economy, and hence the dominant political expression of it. And the Democrats either are part of the racket, or they're too tepid, or the ones that actually make the criticism, Bernie Sanders isn't even a Democrat, but some of the ones that do make forthright criticism, they're marginalized. They're considered to be a little off the edge, right?
Right.
So it's up to us. I mean, you know the old bumper sticker that says when the people lead, the leaders will follow.
Peter, one last thing I want to say about the Democrats. They have to stop being politicians and start being Americans and do what's right for this country. And if they do that, then they'll have no problem getting elected because the people are telling them what we want here.
And they don't listen.
If they don't, it's going to be a horrible, horrible price to pay for all of us.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling 800-989-1480. And let's see, here is Nancy. Nancy is in Winters, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you.
Hi, Peter. Great show.
Well, thank you.
About the impeachment issue, somebody was asking, I believe, you know, what could be done. And what we're doing is we have a letter that we've drafted for our representative, who is Mike Thompson, and also for Speaker Pelosi, asking them to defend the Constitution by impeaching Bush and Cheney. And we're getting people to sign it. Basically, it's a letter/petition. And we're going to be delivering it on August 30th. Actually, we're having a meeting tonight about, you know, finalizing the delivery of the petition, how we're going to do that. And I just think that if people, other people in other districts would like to get a copy of this letter to do the same thing in their districts, they can send an email to defendconstitution@gmail.com.
defendconstitution@gmail.com,
and yeah, we can send them a copy of this, and then if they want to get people to sign the petition, they can go to their own representatives and do the same thing. And we're going to do this. We're going to deliver it on August 30th, so it would be great if everybody, you know, used August 30th as a target date.
Mm-hmm. Well, in about 35 minutes, actually 40 minutes, David Swanson's going to be my guest. He's one of the people in the forefront of the impeachment movement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to ask him, if we have time, I might do the same thing to you what I did to our guest. But Alexander Coburn, who is a columnist in The Nation magazine, he says that impeachment is a waste of time. It's never going to happen. And it takes away from the movement to end the war. What do you think?
Well, the thing is that we need to make sure that the Constitution is not permanently trashed, so that anyone who comes along after Bush, whoever it is, whether it's Democrat, Republican, or whoever, cannot ignore the law. And so we need to hold these people accountable, mm-hmm. and this is the way we do it. And so it's really, I hear the music coming. So we think it's
okay.
really important to get this done.
I agree with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sure.
Thanks for joining me. So we'll be talking about impeachment. You can talk about it anytime you want by calling 800-989-1480. I don't think there's any difference. I think Coburn's dead wrong on that question. The people that are in the forefront of impeachment, one of the impeachable issues is this illegal war. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show, the Nova M Radio Network. Stay tuned. And, hey, if you're on hold, stay there, and I'll get you when we come back. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe sitting in for Mike. Mike, a little under the weather. Hopefully, he will be back tomorrow. You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. Your calls in the first two segments of this hour. Then to David Swanson, who's going to tell us the state of impeachment. Getting rid of George W. Bush and Richard Cheney. Wouldn't that be sweet? Let's see, here's some email. And by the way, I'm here all by myself. I don't know how Mike does it with just Kathy, so imagine I'm here just doing it. And so it's hard for me to grab all these emails. But Sherry writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. She says, I was greatly saddened, though not surprised, to see Jose Padilla was found guilty of supporting terrorism. It's really pathetic how the current administration held this man for 3.5 years before even charging him. It's obvious the only crime Padilla is guilty of is being Muslim, since it mentioned him being a recent convert to Islam. Being Wiccan, says Sherry, I get infuriated when people of any faith are persecuted and unjustly charged with a crime. I know you think religion and God is hogwash, and I respect your right to believe that. Well, I would be a pagan. In fact, I'm kind of pagan. You know, I'm down with paganism. But anyway, she says, I wish all these religious nutcases would focus more on peace and justice and compassion instead of getting into a pissing match over whose God is best. That's why paganism is a decent religion. It seems you don't have all these gods competing. You can kind of fit them all in. You want to believe in Jesus? Cool. Then you've got 100 others. You've got gods in a tree trunk, which is important. You know that? Because when things are desacralized, what do you have then? You have timber. You have, instead of a sacred grove, you have timber, once you take out its sacred nature. Let's see. She also says, I heard a former soldier call Tom Hartman's show last week and report that soldiers got Christmas cards from some church thanking them for bringing back the Crusades to the Holy Land. Oh, that's sweet. That's exactly what Al-Qaeda says we're doing, right? We're the crusaders. She says, interestingly, two or three more former soldiers called and verified the first caller's story. That's absolutely amazing. Well, here's a report. This is Atheist Mistreatment in Iraq by Ed Brayton. It comes from talktoaction.org, talktoaction.org with the numeral 2. And this says, thought you'd be interested in this report of the first ever meeting of atheist service members in Iraq under the umbrella of the MAAF Iraq chapter of the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers. This meeting was put together by the same young MAAF member who recently had his second letter published in Stars and Stripes, you know, that newspaper. One of our members, a young atheist enlisted soldier, thought he'd like to see if he could generate some interest in MAAF meetings at his forward operating base here in Iraq. He's got things coordinated and started hanging flyers, and after weeks of having to rehang his flyers almost daily because some vandal kept tearing him down, he finally succeeded in having a small MAAF meeting. I wasn't there because the meeting wasn't on my forward operating base, but I knew he was holding it and was expecting to hear from him after the meeting. Keep in mind that this young soldier did everything right. He went through the chaplain's office, this is for an atheist meeting in Iraq, and jumped through all the hoops it takes to legally hold meetings that are religiously or philosophically based. Four soldiers attended the meeting, all of them very junior enlisted soldiers, with the exception of one major, an 04, who claimed to be a free thinker. Well, to make a very long story shorter, the major involved here turned out to be a fundamentalist Christian who verbally berated the other attendees, accused them of plotting against Christians and disrespecting soldiers who have died protecting the Constitution, and threatened them with punishment under the UCMJ, the Universal Code of Military Justice, for their activities, said they were going down, said he would do whatever it took to shut the meetings down. Keep in mind that by this point he had two of the attendees. One soldier fled when the shouting started, standing at the position of attention so he could yell at them, berate them, and humiliate them. This apparently went on for several minutes, at which time the major shut down the meeting by saying he wasn't some pushover chaplain and that he would not tolerate atheist meetings to continue in Iraq. The young MAAF member who hosted the meeting is absolutely freaked out about what happened, but he said he's going to continue with the meetings and isn't going to be bullied by the prayer warriors. Wow. In the meantime, if you go to alternet.org, the Pentagon sends messengers of apocalypse to convert soldiers in Iraq. And so this is this long, long article about how these this right-wing born-again Christian group is called Operation Straight Up, the evangelical entertainment troupe that actively proselytizes among active duty members of the U.S. military. And there's more and more and more of that going on in the military, where right-wing Christians dominate the military, particularly in the officer class. And, you know, it's onward Christian soldiers, right? All right, let's go back to our telephones, 800-989-1480. And here's Brian in Baltimore. Brian, thanks for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Okay, how you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the senators and congresspeople that you said that they said that impeaching these two would not be worth it, and it's more important to try to end the war. Somebody needs to wake them up. The war is not going to end until these two idiots are out of office.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, even the Democrats have said this could go on into 09, right? So, I mean, it's beginning to look like a bipartisan war unless we see some really forthright activity on the part of the Democrats, which doesn't appear to be forthcoming.
Yeah, I just, you know, with all the new laws and rules that he's given them, all the new powers that he's given himself, they're talking about an 08 election. I think they should be worried about whether there's going to be an election at all.
I agree with you completely. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for joining me. Here is Lee. Lee is in Schaumburg, Illinois. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, how's it going, Peter?
Going great.
Caller, man.
Well, thank you.
Listen, I got two things. You know, Democrats and Republicans, they're all one. Because if you look at the United States Embassy that's being built out there, Congress funded it.
In Baghdad, yeah.
Okay, in Baghdad. You know, it's so big that you can see it from space, so-called.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
Okay, you know, the Democrats keep saying, oh, we're going to pull out. How are you going to pull out and leave an embassy out there like that, unprotected? And another thing about it, if the rebels and whatever and Al-Qaeda is running Iraq, how have they never hit that target? which I don't understand.
Well, you know, let me ask you another. I don't understand it either. But, Lee, do you know how many Iraqis, since there's such massive unemployment, do you know how many Iraqis are involved in building?
Zero.
Absolutely.
Okay, and another thing. You know, this country, the only way to control it is to have a dictator. I'll tell you, I'm an Assyrian, ex-Iraqi. You know, I was born there, but I was raised in America. And I had relatives, not any longer. I'm a Christian. But when we were fighting the war against Iran, mm-hmm. Christians were being shot by Shia, by the Iraqi Shia, because they couldn't stand the fact that Christians were killing Shias mm-hmm. on the other side. It was a proven fact. I mean, if you look into it, go back and look into it, invest it, you'll see. That's why you need a dictator in that country. And I suggest,
yikes,
if you pull out, it'll take 1 year. 1 year, a dictator will rise and the country will settle. Believe me, there is no way this way it'll settle. But
well, you're Chaldean?
No, I'm Assyrian.
Oh, you said Assyrian. Okay.
We basically speak the same language, you
right.
know. I mean, but it's just, you know, the embassy is there. It's never been hit. So you figure, okay, if the embassy's never hit and these lunatics are running the country, supposedly, how have they not never hit it? I don't understand. But yet
maybe
there's car bombings everywhere.
Gotcha. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate your call. Here is, let's see, Charlie is, Charlie, I blew you off. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry, man. Call us back. You know, this is a new, What did Henry Ford II, Hank the Deuce, as we call him here in Detroit, what did he say? Don't complain, don't explain, right? Well, my explanation is this is not the system I'm used to, and I'm not complaining, but I'll bet you that our caller is. Here is Robert in Ballas, Texas. Robert, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? I'm calling with regards to call rolls and the FISA Act passing. I think they're related. I think there's some backroom deal that might have went on between the Democrats and the White House, and I believe they gave Bush FISA and Bush gave them Karl Rove, because it doesn't make sense why the Democrats would pass that and hurt themselves the way they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was any imminent attack, Bush would do whatever. I mean, he would. The Constitution hasn't kept them from doing anything illegal. He's said he's listened to Americans or listened to calls already or tracked calls even before this law passed. So I don't see why they needed to pass that act to deter any terrorist attacks.
Let's do this. Let me put you on hold. We'll be right back, too, when we come back from our break. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Some open lines for you. I promise I won't hang up on you like I did accidentally to our caller right before Robert. NovaM Radio Network call-in number is 800-989-1480. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. I'll talk to you on the other side of these. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the NovaM Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you tonight. 800-989-1480 is our call-in number. Kirk writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I talked to my Congressman Jim McGovern about impeachment. He said it would take away from the Iraq war, and here is what a friend said back to me on that. Tell them Congress can walk and chew gum at the same time. During Nixon's impeachment investigation, Congress raised the minimum wage, passed the Endangered Species Act, and started the drawdown of troops in Vietnam. David Swanson will be with us in about 20 minutes, and we'll talk to him about the state of impeachment. Let's go back to Robert in Ballas, Texas. Robert, you were saying that you think maybe a deal was cut, that the Bush Co. said to the Dems, you pass this new FISA Act and we'll get rid of Karl Rove.
Yeah, I really believe that, because it doesn't make any sense why Karl would leave. So right now, there's only a year and a half left of the administration. You know, why wouldn't he want to stay there till the end?
Here's what I think. Uh-huh. That they are trying to demonize their administration. Look who they've gotten rid of. I predict that Gonzalez will not end the term as the Attorney General. But Rumsfeld's gone, Ashcroft's gone, Tom DeLay's gone, Dick Armey's gone. Who else is gone? I mean, the people that we all knew. I said to a friend of mine the other day, I said, who's the Secretary of Defense? And they drew a blank. I said, who, you know, no George Tenet. I said, who's the head of the CIA? Drew a blank. They're going to just put in these apparatus checks that will carry out Republican policy. And Rove doesn't have to have an official title to go about his evil deeds.
Exactly. I think the Democrats, I think by passing that FISA law, they legitimized Bush's war with at least in the eyes of the American people. I think by them passing that, they said, okay, yeah, we believe you. There is a threat. Even though they don't, they may not believe him, even though politically it doesn't suit them, they did that by passing that law. Because
But they also undercut one of the key points in impeachment evidence against George W. Bush, which was illegal spying. They legitimized it.
Exactly.
It's incredible. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Joe in Iowa. Joe, hi. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Pete. I'd like to run an idea by your listeners, and me included, and that is to pull the plug on the politicians that receive funds from certain corporations. In other words, boycott those corporations and try not to do business with those corporations. And as far as an overall issue, the energy issue, don't pay your electric bill until they it's on the brink of being turned off, or have them turn it off and go through the inconvenience, personal inconvenience, and let the power company run the brunt of our discontent.
You know, Joe, you can go to the American Friends Service Committee website, and they have all sorts of individual acts that people can take like that, including refusing to pay parts of your income tax, and they'll tell you how to go about it. Because, I mean, what's hard like that, of course, is that boycotting the corporations that pay for politicians, geez, you'd kind of wind up almost, you'd have to go naked and eat grass. I mean, that's how intertwined the corporations are in financing politics. And, of course, all the politicians say, well, you know, we'll wind up like Kucinich with no money. All ideas, no money. Well, gee, isn't that so? We have candidates running that are all money and no ideas. Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate your call. Man, I'm just sort of blasting through people, aren't I? Let's see. Here's Leonard in Glendale,
Arizona.
Arizona. Okay, excuse me. I'm way back in Michigan here.
Well, I mean, it's actually next to Phoenix, but it's kind of a pet peeve. Everybody says the Phoenix metro area, but Glendale's a beautiful city, and we're going to have the Super Bowl here next year.
Really? Oh, yeah. You got, all right.
Right. Well, I'm just calling because, Peter, I've been listening to you, and thank you so much for letting me call in. You might not be aware because it's more of a state issue, but, you know, our Congressman Mitchell is here, and I don't know if you'd heard. It had some television coverage locally. Fellow Democrats were thrown off a private, you know, there was a meeting. It was not billed as such, a public meeting of a Democratic meeting for Congressman Mitchell.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, I guess in the fine print, and no offense against my fellow Democrats who set it up, they said that it was required you have an RSVP. So one man who's involved in Democratic politics, who's known the congressman for a long time, he had 13 policemen. He was not threatening come up on him. After all he said basically was he was just going to stay on the outside. He wanted to ask Congressman Mitchell, and I guess Pelosi was there, why he continued to do this. And he was not the only one. There were multiple Democrats, not some, you know, wild group of people screaming. Code Pink, a great lady and activist, Liz, that I know personally, was threatened to be kicked out. I'm a teacher, so I couldn't be there. I feel guilty about it, Peter. I mean, I came back from Iraq, you know, and I've done a lot, but I keep thinking, man, you know, I know people who actually died. It's like,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad I have the daughter, but I'll tell you what, I feel like, you know, if it's necessary to live on the streets and have a peaceful revolution, can I leave you with this? Can you answer, I had heard that on Fridays there is a movement to wear orange, you know, And I've seen people doing that. But I just want to ask the congressman before I leave you, Congressman Mitchell, and all of the Democratic leaders who have not ascribed to withdrawing American soldiers immediately or very near future and impeachment, you know, please, you know, you are Democrats, and you need to stand for democratic principles. And
thank you, Leonard. We're out
of
time.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, right back with David Swanson to talk about impeachment. Stay on the line. There's more to it. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Peter Werbe's sitting in for Mike. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480, as it always does in the Mike Malloy Show and on my show as well here in Detroit. The question of impeachment comes up, and why is it not on the table? There's been so many high crimes and misdemeanors committed, one a day at least, by the Bush Co. What does Mike call it, the Bush crime family, that they're, why is it off the table is what we're asking ourselves. Well, when I start thinking about impeachment, the go-to man for that, in my mind, is David Swanson. He created ImpeachCheney.org. He's the Washington director of Democrats.com. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org Coalition, and he's worked as a newspaper reporter, communications director, including being the press secretary for Denis Kucinich's 2004 presidential campaign. And he joins us from Washington, D.C. David Swanson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you.
Great to be here, Peter. Thanks for having me.
You're busy, aren't you?
We got a war we're trying to end and some criminals we're trying to impeach, and it's slow going.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the show, but I mentioned that Alexander Coburn said in The Nation that impeachment ain't going to happen, particularly with only 18 months remaining of this criminal regime, and that it's taking away efforts from ending the war. What's your response to that?
Well, it's very easy to predict that good things won't happen. That's a wise prediction on any issue at this moment. It's also rather irresponsible as citizens of a democracy to turn ourselves into pundits and predict that something won't happen rather than working to try to make it happen. And in terms of the war, you know, Daniel Ellsberg makes a very strong case, and many others do, but he does it best, I think, that the threat of impeachment was critical to ending the Vietnam War, and that if you listen to Nixon's tapes, he was backing off because of impeachment, and he was backing off vetoing the ending of the funding of that war because of impeachment. It put the Congress on the offensive, which this Congress badly needs, and it put the Nixon White House on the defensive, and that was with an impeachment that wasn't even about the war. In this case, we have an impeachment where the facts are already known. We don't need months of investigation. We can impeach in a week. And it's very likely to be impeachment for issues about the war. So I find it hard to understand this idea that, you know, Congress can't walk and chew gum. And if it tries to walk, you know, it'll choke on the gum. I don't get it. It's not a zero-sum game. People come into the peace movement and the anti-war rallies through impeachment and vice versa.
Sure.
You know, most people are sitting on their couch still.
David Swanson, how goes the impeachment movement? You said things are going slowly. Most of the activity seems to be at the grassroots level.
Oh, well, you know, we talked, I think, off the air about all the cities and towns and counties and states moving impeachment. You know, there are about 90 towns and cities that have passed resolutions demanding impeachment. There are about 16 state Democratic parties, all sorts of local organizations, and it has an effect. And where we are now, we have a bill with three articles of impeachment against the vice president, House Resolution 333, with 20 Congress members backing it. 20 Congress members signed on. We also have a proposal in Congress to impeach Alberto Gonzalez that very quickly got 28 Congress members on board. And those are almost completely different lists. There are only five names that overlap there. So we're looking at 45 Congress members putting their names down, and there are a great many other Congress members who don't like those particular bills but are for impeachment. So there is the possibility of getting it to happen. The big hurdles remain Congressman John Conyers and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi.
Well, as I think every progressive Democrat knows, John Conyers, when the Democrats were in the minority, was all for impeachment and held his own hearings and held forums here in the city of Detroit. In fact, the Detroit City Council voted 9-0 to support impeachment. And suddenly, it's like Nancy Pelosi must have pulled the string on him, which is pretty odd because John Conyers, I know him, he's a pretty independent guy. What do you think's going on?
And the interesting bit about Detroit City Council is the particular city council member who introduced that resolution.
Because she's
married to John Conyers.
That's right. His wife. Yeah.
So what does he hear at home? We know what he hears in the office. His staff continues to tell us they get a phone call every 30 seconds on impeachment. He's hearing it. He's hearing it from his constituents and from people all over the country. But he's not ready to do it. And he might be ready to do it if more of his fellow Congress members get on board first. It might take bringing Nancy Pelosi around, but we're working on both of those angles. And there are 6 members of the Judiciary Committee pushing for impeachment. One of them, freshman member Steve Cohen from Memphis, is drafting articles of impeachment on Gonzalez. So when we come back in September, there won't be just this little 3-sentence bill proposing that we impeach Gonzalez that's staged to die in the Rules Committee. There will be articles of impeachment in the Judiciary Committee where 6 members are signed on for the impeachment of Cheney and Gonzalez. And so it may be Gonzalez first, and that may open the door. But one way or the other, we're going to push this thing on the table. And the reason why is that the public and the Congress is going to understand very quickly that nothing else is going anywhere. That every useful bill is going to be vetoed, that we all want single-payer health care and the right to organize and decent schools, but every single bill will be vetoed. Everyone understands that. So what can Congress do for the next year and a half, other than announcing that there will be no more funds for the occupation of Iraq? You know, that's one of the 2 things they can do. And the other is impeachment, because it cannot be vetoed.
David Swenson, I have an impeachment link on my page, Peter Werbe, werbe.com, and there's all sorts of different groups and links and what have you. Is there a unified impeachment movement? Like, I'm looking at the charges and evidence, impeachment of George W. Bush, and it's from impeachforpeace.org, and it lists a number, I think 4, 6, 7 different articles, or as they call them, memorials. Is there some unanimity, or are we flying out in different directions?
Well, there is a huge coalition that we've put together, and you can find it at impeach07.org. But it's a loose coalition, and groups are off doing their own thing. And the one you're looking at, Impeach for Peace, is a great bunch of guys. They're from Minnesota, and they do great work. There are grassroots and online groups by the thousands, and there is an almost inexhaustible menu of impeachable offenses. I can give you my ranking of, you know, which charges should be brought first, but it won't agree with anyone else's. But there's no shortage. There's no problem. You know, any Congress member who doesn't like one of the existing bills, you can offer them a list of 20 quintessentially impeachable offenses where the evidence is on the table. They can pick their favorite 3 and write their own bill and introduce it.
Hmm. There actually is the website I'm sure you're familiar with, thousandreasons.org.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I think they're up to about 1,500 or 1,600. They're not all impeachable offenses, but I always used to say, if you asked a hardcore right-wing Republican in, say, 1995 or 96, what's wrong with Clinton and Gore, they'd list off 6, 7, 8, 9 things.
But, I did too.
But they, well, me too, but they would stop at about there. I mean,
right.
And yet if you ask one of us what's wrong with Bush, I mean, I get some people say, well, why don't you like Bush? I'm almost flabbergasted. I don't know what to say. I mean, where do you start? I say, go to this website. And, you know, the. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so many of them are such quintessentially impeachable offenses. I mean, they passed an article of impeachment against Nixon for refusing to comply with subpoenas.
Right.
This is routine now. This has become the norm. It's going to happen again this coming Monday. The president and vice president and others are going to refuse Senator Leahy's third deadline on a particular batch of subpoenas, and he's going to come up with a fourth deadline. And they're going to play this game out for a year and a half unless they impeach. And the subpoenas is scraping the surface with these guys.
Well, has the Dems, for all practical purposes, cut the ground out from one of the real high crimes and misdemeanors, that is George W. Bush's willful violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act? They've essentially legalized it.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have that, the illegal spying, high on my list of impeachable offenses in which Congress was not complicit and therefore might move most swiftly through the Congress. And you can't really do that anymore since they ripped up the Fourth Amendment. But that being said, it remains the case that an impeachable offense is not necessarily a crime, and a crime is not necessarily an impeachable offense. And you can legalize unconstitutional activities, and they remain impeachable offenses. I mean, everything Hitler did was legalized.
Yeah.
Right? Legalizing something, it does not. You know, this is the genius of impeachment in our Constitution. You can't get around it by legalizing your crimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, we've only got a little bit of time left. What about the idea that that Bush just continually shoots himself in the foot, that'll virtually guarantee a Democratic victory, and to go after impeachment now would create such political chaos that it might even serve the function of backfiring on the Dems?
There are two key answers to that. One is that setting the precedent that the White House must obey laws in the future is far more important than this or any other election. The second is...
Hey, David Swanson, I got to interrupt you. You know, I've done this almost to every guest and caller tonight. We're out of time. You can go to afterdowningstreet.com. Get on board with this, folks, and, we got to get these rascals out. David Swanson, thanks for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 800-989-1480. We are open line for the entire rest of the program. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Our number, 800-989-1480. We are open line for the whole rest of the evening, so we got about another hour and 10 minutes. Get this. I was going to go to Washington for this September 29th anti-war protest. Another group is having one on September 15th, and just fit in with my personal plans more to go to the September 29th event. But the Answer Coalition received citation fining the organization $10,000 for the placement of posters announcing the September 15th march on Washington, D.C. The fine comes after a campaign led by Fox News calling for the D.C. government to take action against those putting up posters for the September 15th demonstration. This is absolutely amazing. They told us we have 72 hours to remove every poster or the fines will go into effect. I thought this had to go through courts. Have we lost all of that as well? Tens of thousands of dollars in additional fines are expected in the coming days. Bush's Interior Department is threatening similar actions against Answer. The September 15th posters are legal, says the group, and conform to city regulations. They say we will not allow the government's intimidation tactics to slow our outreach or silence the anti-war movement. Well, they're up to this, are they? They've stooped to this. They've lowered themselves to another little chink in destroying the Constitution. Where is my Constitution? Last time I checked, oh yeah, right at the end there, it says, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, they just don't want us to do that, do they? Well, I'm going there on September 15th, for sure. You can go to, let's see, I think it's just, answercoalition.org, answercoalition.org. One way that this kind of stuff is always fought is to just go right up in their face, and that's what I intend to do. So September 15th in Washington, D.C., I know it's kind of hard for many of you on the West Coast or in the Southwest, but those of us, the Midwest and East, come on, let's go there. All right, here is Austin in Nashville. Austin, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Austin.
Hi, Austin.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to quickly, you know, be a little realistic. First, I think it's a great idea to get behind Sheehan and go against Pelosi. Maybe it's not some sense in this Democratic Party. But more importantly, to really push for censorship of at least the vice president, just for little American justice, at the very least, because in all practicality, it's very doubtful that we're going to realistically be able to impeach George W. Bush. But I think if we really push for censorship of at least the vice president, I think that's realistic. I think that that's satisfying to.
Well, I certainly, I hear you. I hear you, and I on one hand, agree with you, but I think they probably have equal chances. You know, Austin, the sound of your phone is probably a cell. So it's really not too good, but thank you for that. I appreciate it. Let's see. I have to kind of go through all of this. Here's Gary in Cleveland. Gary, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on the air.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, Peter.
Sure.
I guess I just wanted to point out a little, I thought, ironic that if we're going to proclaim that Iranian Guard a terrorist organization for supplying a Taliban group that ultimately is pointing those weapons at us, well, as I recall, in the Russian-Afghan war, weren't we supplying arms to the Afghani rebels, which had ties to Al-Qaeda at that time, and if he wanted to use that model.
Well, there really wasn't an Al-Qaeda then, but you're right. It's very similar. Yes, the United States was, what would you say in today's language, meddling in Afghan affairs by supplying armaments to these Islamic rebels who then became the Taliban, and they were all over the board. They became both sides. They became Al-Qaeda. Yeah, I mean, the major blowback. But, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
The sovereign country of Russia could have proclaimed us terrorists, couldn't they?
They could indeed. All right, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Here's Joe in Tempe, Arizona. Joe, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, do you guys take opposing calls or everybody's got to agree?
Oh, I don't know. I think on Malloy's show everybody's got to agree, but sometimes I take opposing
calls.
Okay,
I could
what
make believe I'm a liberal. I could say, hey,
go ahead.
You know, Bush impeach.
There
listen,
you go. You're doing
I don't
good.
Think he should be impeached. I think he should be given a medal. The only thing that bothers me about him is he didn't take this war in Iraq far enough and maybe you know, use a little bit more hardcore tactics.
Like what? Like what?
Well, we have nuclear in our arsenal.
Yeah. Well, what would you nuke?
Well, I agree with you, Libby's, in that we should pull the boys out.
Yeah. And who do we nuke? Who do we nuke though?
Baghdad.
Baghdad. Wow. I thought that's where the seat of the government that we're trying to create democracy
well,
with.
The government we created, the Maliki government, is of a very poor quality, and then unfortunately we got screwed over with that government. And you know what? Give them a little going away present. You know,
Joe? You know, this is not opinion. This is just a sick statement.
Why?
From a very sick person. You know, isn't it? I mean, am I right? People usually say, I was going to kind of let him go, and I know you folks hate that. You say, Mike would have chewed him up and spit him out. But usually I like to hear what these people have to say. But, I mean, when you start talking about a guy who essentially is advocating mass murder, and particularly mass murder of our allies, mass murder of the very people that Bush says he's trying to bring a democracy to, that's just one sick puppy. And it's not even about politics. It's not about anything except a very, very twisted personality. And it gives you an idea of what lurks in every modern society. It's kind of the fascist third. I mean, because remember, wasn't I saying this last time I was on Mike's show? Hitler got about 32% of the vote in the last free election in Germany. 32%. So two-thirds of the people didn't want to vote for Adolf Hitler. But it's like the same third that listens to these right-wing talk shows and the same kind of people that would, you know, that would support a lot of those policies. Extermination? Hey, some of them would, believe it. All right, let's take our top of the hour break. It's all open line next hour. And also, hey, by the way, these righties, sometimes I don't even know what to say to them. I mean, my brain just shuts down. I mean, because theirs is. And so it's a dirty job. You join me. When you hear some righty you don't like, you call in, all right? Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show, the Nova M Radio Network. Our call-in number is 800-989-1480. We'll be back after these. Stay with us. This is the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Peter Werbe, sitting in for Mike. Mike, under the weather. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. I want to sit at home listening to Mike. In the meantime, though, here I am in Detroit. Peter Werbe at 800-989-1480. We're open line the entire hour, so if you have something you want to bring up from what we've either talked about or it's rattling around your brain, let us know. Okay. Well, we were talking about impeachment last hour, and it's not like there's a few things. It just is endless. Here's an article from The Independent in the United Kingdom. Oh, that we would have a newspaper like this, eh? Here's the article by Andrew Gumbel. He's their Washington correspondent. Bush's lethal legacy, more executions. And the subtitle is, the U.S. already kills more of its prisoners than almost any other country. Now the White House plans to cut the right of appeal of death row inmates. It's almost all there. Now, right before the break, there was a guy from Tempe, Arizona on Joe, and he was advocating nuking Iraq. I thought he was going to say nuke Iran, right? Wouldn't that, you'd expect that from a twistoid like that who hears, the master barks. Right. And the master gives the command and he barks because that's what those guys are all about. They're no matter how tough they often appear on the surface, the key underlying emotion of all right wing politics is fear. I mean, they fly into furious rage. And in fact, that's what the fear hides behind, this tremendous rage, this desire for punishment, the desire to hurt, all of this. So here's somebody sitting in Tempe, Arizona, advocating nuking a country just a few weeks after Hiroshima Nagasaki Day, and where we are forced to remember the last time the United States, being the only country ever to use nuclear weapons, and use it on a civilian population, the results of that, and he's saying, do it to Iraq. So either, I mean, hopefully, maybe he's just a goofball, right? And he was saying, well, let's see, maybe we can upset them. But unfortunately, a third of our population, probably, just like it was in Germany, just like it is in most countries, is this fascistic third. And one of the reasons that they can often achieve the power that they do is they're relentless. They are so driven by their hatreds and their fears and their rage and their desire to submit to authority most of us, they can run over the average person because the average person doesn't have that kind of drive, doesn't have that kind of resolve. I mean, we're taken up with our families and our lives and our interests and our loves and what have you, and they're just this rage machine, just this absolute rage. Of course, isn't there a left-wing band, Rage Against the Machine? Well, here's just a little bit of the article, a couple sentences. The Bush administration is preparing to speed up executions of convicts who are on death row across the United States, in effect cutting out several layers of appeals in the federal courts so that prisoners can be fast-tracked to their deaths. That's good for hamburgers, but I don't know for justice. Less than 18 months to go to secure a presidential legacy, President Bush has turned to an issue he has specialized in since approving a record number of executions while governor of Texas. And most of us know about that, and just the enormously cruel way and the way he mocked that woman who was on death row and begging for mercy. These are people with no mercy, no compassion whatsoever. I mean, we don't want to do anything to them, but they got to get out of any position where they can hurt other people, because that's their specialty, hurting other people. Look how many people Bush has hurt in Iraq. How many American soldiers? How many Iraqi civilians? You may have heard me last week when I had somebody from, what was the name of the group? JustForeignPolicy.org, which now estimates 1 million Iraqi civilians have died as a result of Bush's illegal war and occupation. But let's go back to this. The U.S. Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, Bush's top legal advisor during the spree of execution in Texas in the 1990s, is putting finishing touches to regulations. Not legislation, right? Regulations inspired by recent anti-terrorism legislation that would allow states to turn to the Justice Department instead of federal courts as the key arbiter in deciding whether prisoners live or die. The U.S. is already among the top six countries worldwide in terms of numbers of its own citizens that it puts to death. 52 Americans were executed last year, and thousands, that's what it says here, thousands await their fate on death row. Somebody like Mumia Abu-Jamal, who I think many of you know of, they got this absolutely unfair trial in Philadelphia over a quarter of a century ago, who's been languishing in a cell in Pennsylvania for the last 25 years. I mean, even if he did it, 25 years in solitary confinement, he says it's like spending his life in a bathroom because it's the small tiled cell. So he's been on death row for 25 years. Elizabeth Semmel, a death penalty specialist at the University of California Law School, said the intention of the proposed regulation was clear, to make it more difficult for people who have been sentenced to death in state courts, including those sentenced without adequate representation and resources, to avoid being executed. And you know, I had this. I was carrying this article around for the longest time. But increasingly, death penalty cases, or the convicted in death penalty cases, have been overturned at an unusually high rate. And, of course, they're predominantly, overwhelmingly poor people and disproportionately a minority, African-American or Hispanic. And this is who these white, mean, right-wingers love to punish. I mean, to be able to legally dispatch those people that they despise so much must give them great pleasure. But and probably the idea that the United States is not number one in almost anything must be galling to them. So there's thousands of people on death row, and Gonzalez and Bush can speed this up because right now China way in the lead, over 1,000 executions. Iran is second with only 177. Then Pakistan, Iraq, Sudan, and then the U.S. So we're way down there. So these guys want to be number one in mass murder by the state executions, right? So here is who is on the list of people of countries carrying out executions. There is not one admirable country or one country with an admirable system of government. China, Iran, Pakistan, Iraq, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Vietnam, and Kuwait. That's who we are in company with. Isn't that a disgrace? Isn't everything about Bush a disgrace? I mean, couldn't we be number one in something good? And I can't think of a thing. I often challenge my Detroit listeners. I say, come on, what are we number one in? What are we number one in a social statistic that we can actually be proud of? We know it's not health care. We know it's not infant mortality. And now it turns out that we are slipping increasingly in longevity. We are number 42 in how long we live. Dr. Christopher Murray, head of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington, says, something's wrong here when one of the richest countries in the world, what do you mean one of them? The richest country in the world, the one that spends the most on health care, is not able to keep up with other countries. So we are now number 42. And so Japan, most of Europe, Jordan, Guam, the Cayman Islands, all have higher higher life expectancies. Just a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, isn't it? Here is Captain Mike. He's in Key West, Florida. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
It's beautiful down here in Key West, by the way.
That's good. Not hot?
It's real hot. But well, the point I wanted to bring up to you was that I found out today, and I'm going to research this to find out, I found out from a captain of a merchant ship that our United States Navy does not have enough money to train the officers or the sailors to run the nuclear ships that are out in the fleet, that they have contractors operating the reactors on the ships.
That's scary.
And only because there's not enough funding available for our United States Navy.
How can that be? We're giving the Pentagon, you and me and the rest of us, are giving the Pentagon $500 billion a year. Of course, a lot of it's just going down the rat hole, isn't it?
It's unfortunate that it's going out the villages. My father, my whole family, I'm retired from Navy. My father, my boat is named Master Chief. My father was a Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was in Pearl Harbor. And what's going on with this United States Navy now is, from what I'm to hear, is a disgrace.
Well, it seems like Bush is just ruining everything, isn't he? Captain Mike, thank you. I got to go to a break. I appreciate your call. Thanks for joining me at 800-989-1480. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. This is the Nova M Radio Network. And we come back, I'll tell you where some of your money's going. And it ain't pretty. Well, none of it's pretty, is it? Right back after these. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe broadcasting for Mike tonight, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Hey, join us, 800-989-1480. We're open line for the rest of the show. I said when we came back, I'd tell you where our money is going. And remember, if you've heard the show before, I want to be very precise about pronouns like we and our money and what have you. So when I say that we're fighting, pardon me, we're fighting in Iraq, that doesn't make it. We're not fighting in Iraq. Some people are. We know the Romney sons aren't, for instance. But in this case, it is our money, because our money is, whenever you hear any figures, hey, whose money do you think it is? Well, here's where part of it's going. A small South Carolina parts supplier collected about $20.5 million over 6 years from the Pentagon for fraudulent shipping costs, including $1,000 for sending two 19-cent washers to an Army base in Texas. Whoa, wait a minute, man. That's a comma. $998,798. That's what they charged us, you and me, to ship two 19-cent washers. The company also billed and was paid almost $500,000 to ship three machine screws, costing $1.31 each to Marines in Habaniya, Iraq, and $293,000 to ship an 89-cent split washer to Patrick Air Force Base in Cape Canaveral, Florida, according to Pentagon records. Now, these guys got busted, and they're barred from receiving federal contracts. Well, gee, they're really stepping on them. But also, one of the company and one of the, let me see, who is this person? They don't, man, this is some terrible, it says a sister, one sister. Who the hell is this? But pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. So, but, you know, there is such widespread fraud, as so many of you know. This is just a few more details here. The U.S. military has paid $548 million, over $500 million, over the past 3 years to two British security firms that protect the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on reconstruction projects, more than $200 million over the original budget, according to previously undisclosed data that shows how the cost of private security in Iraq has mushroomed. It's all a racket. It's a big, huge racket. It's called Bush Co., right? And the idea is to fleece the suckers. That's you and me. Now, we have done, many of us at least, some real work in exposing this racket. We have gone to demonstrations, we petition, we agitate for impeachment, we've taken part in elections. So I'm not saying we're all, you know, remiss in this. Many of us have done the work. But the fact, as I said a couple hours ago, that there's not millions of us in the street. Why isn't the streets filled with right-wingers saying, look, I like conservative presidents. Look, I like wars. Look, I like the extension of U.S. military force abroad and all that as a conservative. you know, someone's going to take this little, or just tune in, or take this little blip and put it on some website of me saying this. No, this is a conservative saying that. But I don't like getting ripped off. I don't like working my butt off in a factory or in an office and then having this money stolen by the government and give it to their thieving buddies. Well, every once in a while, when I mean somebody like this that gets so outrageous that you've got to step on them a little. But if there's a few people that are doing cost overruns and a few that get caught and a few people that actually get criminal charges brought against them, what do you think the overall total of the people doing that? Wow. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Steve, it's Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. Hi.
Hi, Pete. First of all, thanks for stepping up and keeping the show alive tonight. I really appreciate it.
Sure, Mike. Glad to.
I'm just wondering, my question, you know, nightly we hear these atrocities this Bush regime has committed against us American people. I'm just wondering where the likes are of Papa Bush, Jimmy Carter, maybe Bill Clinton. You know, why haven't they paid him a visit and say, hey, you nut job, you know, you got to knock this off?
Well, Carter particularly has been more critical of Bush than any other president, any former president has ever been of any sitting president. Clinton, of course, has been critical. Daddy, he starts crying. Oh, they're picking on my son.
Well, yeah, you hear nothing from these people, especially Daddy Bush. Back in 91, when he stopped going any farther in Kuwait, you know, he knew better.
Yeah, he did.
I can't believe he sits back and just lets his son just, you know, destroy everything. He helped, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I have no idea what the father's role in all this, because a lot of his advisors have been very critical at both publicly and behind the scenes of what the son is doing. Of course, a lot of the people in there are Daddy Bush's old buddies, Rumsfeld and Cheney and what have you. So I don't know what. I mean, they must know that this has gone awry. I mean, there can't be much doubt in their minds that this has not worked out the way they thought it was. I mean, they thought Rumsfeld was a genius and they were going to go in there with a limited amount of troops and be welcomed with flowers. And they must have all bought into that. But it's kind of weird, isn't it, that that we knew better. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling. Thanks. We're going to be back and take more of your calls. Is there open lines? There is, if you want to join me. I'm Peter Werby sitting in for Mike Malloy. Our number is 800-989-1480. And I see somebody's up there. We're going to go to him next, that one of Papa Bush's main cohorts, who's on the scene right now, had something pretty important to say about invading Iraq and how far to go. 800-989-1480. Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. I'll be right back. Well, we're going up the country, aren't we? Novam Radio, the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby in for Mike tonight. Hopefully Mike will be back tomorrow. Our call-in number, 800-989-1480. This just in on Yahoo News, and it's like, this is old news to most of us, but this is pretty incredible. This is called Notes Describe Frail Upset Attorney General Ashcroft. The White House demanded in 2004 that the Justice Department approve a secret national security program without allowing the ailing attorney general, quote, feeble, barely articulate, clearly stressed, close quote, to discuss the matter with top advisors, according to the FBI director's personal notes. What's been censored? The partially censored notes from FBI Chief Robert Mueller, dated March 12, 2004, describe a distraught and feeble Attorney General John Ashcroft in his hospital room just moments after being visited by then White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez and Andy Card, the president's chief of staff. Mueller's account backs up earlier descriptions of the dispute over whether to continue the program despite Justice Department concerns about its legality. Now, this should be, I'm saying, another nail in Gonzalez's coffin. But, geez, how many does he need? How many does he need? I mean, just this is more evidence of the lies that he told Congress. All right, let's go back to our phones at 800-989-1480. Here's Thomas in Phoenix. Thomas, hi. It's Peter Werby.
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. What?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Well, it's just a really creepy feeling to know that 20 miles away in Tempe, there's some psycho nut out there that wants to use our nuclear arsenal against Baghdad. I thought we were there to prevent a mushroom cloud, not to create one. That's what Bush, when his famous mushroom cloud speech, you know.
Well, that's why I hung up on him. I mean, sometimes I'll talk to right-wingers, but this guy was just a twistoid.
Oh, gosh. They're a liability on our society, that third that you were talking about.
Well, I know they are, but we ought to keep them in places. Well, no, I mean, if they're... Listen, people will do within a society whatever society gives them permission to do. So you have these people that are just sort of angry and they torture cats. But then you say, hey, we're going to round up all the Jews and communists and gypsies and Slavs and put them in the concentration camps. So anybody wants to work here? Well, most everybody in German society says, I don't want to work there. That's terrible. I'm a human being. But then you have that third, that fascistic third that just pops out from under the rocks. And then the same thing would be here. So we got to keep those people under strict control.
I hope that maybe, you know, it's the Supreme Court's fault that we got this lousy. We should really be going after them, too. I mean, the people of the United States against Bush, the people of the United States suing the Supreme Court with the justices of Scalia and all those Thomas, they were all stacked. It should never fall into – that's one thing the Founding Fathers did wrong was they should – it just backfired to have one president, one guy that can appoint. And that's the only way to get on the highest court in the land. I'll never understand that rule.
I don't know. Maybe you could have a dice roll or something. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate your call. Here's David in Ketchum, Idaho. Hi, David. I'm sorry. I was going to go to you first because I mentioned that, didn't I? But go ahead. You got something really important to remind us about.
Yes, evening.
Hi.
After watching that 94 Cheney video.
Yeah, but remind people that haven't seen it what it is, what it says.
He was saying that, you know, we did the right thing by stopping and not going into Baghdad, and we're, you know, we will have a mess there, a quagmire. You know, he was saying everything that the Democrats have been saying for 6 years.
Let me just flesh it out a little. This is a video. In fact, it's available on my website at Peter Werby, W-E-R-B as in boy E, PeterWerby.com, where Dick Cheney is being questioned, and he was Secretary of Defense, right? I believe.
No, 94, he was nothing.
No, I know. But when the first Gulf War, he was Secretary of Defense under Bush 1. And they asked him, and Bush had been asked, why didn't you go into Baghdad? Why didn't you overthrow the Saddam government? And he said, what you said, David, was that we would have been involved in a quagmire, that the whole place would have split up. Now, Saddam Hussein was the ally of the United States under Reagan and Bush. And he actually remained an ally after his defeat in 1991. And his role was to make sure that Iraq did not split apart into Kurdistan and a Shia section that could align itself with Iran and an independent Sunni area as well. And this is exactly what has happened. Somebody a little earlier said, what does his dad say about this? Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine, given what people in Bush 1's administration has said and what Cheney said in 1994, that they must think that he's totally blown it, even on their terms, even, you know, in the terms of the imperialists, the people that want an empire, people that want to control oil in the Middle East. He's totally blown it. For them. I mean, that's not what I care about. I care about that he's caused the death of a million people. He's a mass murderer. He's a war criminal. He's a liar. He should be impeached.
I agree.
Should I tell you what I really think?
Well, my take, I mean, you know, I agree, but even further, my take was that I'm looking at this, and it looked like somebody just on the verge of starting a drug habit where everything was really good. And things are real, you know. He was confident. He was smart, and he's, you know, he's just ready to go. And you know, fast forward 13 years, and he looks strung out now. He's totally strung out. The drug has taken its toll, and he's a mess.
He does look weird. Hey, if you want to see another, I don't know if you saw this when it occurred, but they're on my site as well, peterwerby.com. There's an interview that Jay Leno does with Dick Cheney, and also a press conference with George W. Bush, where he says that zombies are our greatest threat. All right, David, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jake in Arcata, California. Hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss the issue of the Republican presidential candidates.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I'd like to preach to the choir, to all the progressives, Democrats, liberals out there who are interested in putting a Democrat back in the White House in 2008, that we take it easy on Rudy Giuliani until he wins the nomination.
You know, I got you.
Yeah, the way I look at it is the media is not going to be very critical of Giuliani. They're not going to get into his personal life or his dealings with Bernie Kerik or any of this other stuff or 9/11. So, and the polls clearly say he's the front runner in the Republican field. Once he gets that nomination, though, it's open season.
Yeah, there you go. You know what my favorite is, that he his little love nest. Remember that he had that up in
the
World Trade Center, right? Wasn't
that's
that where
right.
it was? Yeah, in the World Trade Center, where when he was cheating on his wife, and that's one of the reasons that he wanted it there. And, of course, it led to some disastrous results, to be sure. Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it. It's going to wind up to be Mitt Romney, even with his gaffe about his sons doing their bit for America by trying to get their father in as president. What a stupid thing to say.
Well, except for one thing, though, I think Mitt Romney's got a problem. You know, first of all, the Southern Baptists, you know, they are pretty prejudiced against Mormons. And second, Romney, you know, he is on record, on videotape, having said at that debate when he was running for the Senate against Ted Kennedy that he would be more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy. And there's a lot of Republicans, these conservative religious right-wingers, they're not going to go for that.
Except, of course, the Republican dream candidate is Hillary Clinton, and when they're faced with the idea of the you know, the bitch from hell, as they see her, I mean, a strong woman, that's one of the things, of course, that conservatives are very fearful about, is strong women. They're such weak men that they fear strong women, and they will go absolutely nuts if Hillary, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that I don't want Hillary to be the president, but it's not the fact that she's a strong person, that's for sure.
Right. Well, if you look at the polls, you know, and that's what the media is focusing on right now. It's early polls. It's really based on name recognition more than anything else. But if it is going to be Giuliani versus Clinton, you know, if nothing else, it'll at least be entertaining.
There you go, Jake. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate your call. 800-989-1480. Do I have time for this? Yeah. The question of son's choices, dogs, Romney campaign, according to the New York Times from yesterday. Mitt Romney has been asked before in the campaign trail if his sons have served in the military, and he usually has dispatched the question easily enough. But an awkward response last week in Iowa, in which he said in part, quote, "One of the ways my sons are showing support for our nation is helping me get elected," forced him several days later to say he misspoke and injected a discordant note into his otherwise triumphant few days after he won the state's Republican straw poll. It also threatened to put a chink in what has been widely viewed as a major asset in his bid for Republican presidential nomination, his crowded family portrait, including five successful adult sons. Let's see. The fact that none have served in the armed forces is a potentially sensitive point, given how badly stretched the nation's military has become with the conflict in Iraq and the nearly unanimous support for the war on the part of the Republican candidates. Well, of course, he says it's a volunteer army. In fact, here's the quote. He got the question again later in the week at the Iowa State Fair, this time from a man holding a photograph of his son in a soldier's uniform. "None of your sons are in the military," the man asked. Mr. Romney said they were not. The man asked, "Are they going to go over to Iraq?" Mr. Romney said, "No, they're not." The man said, "Who's going to do his job?" Romney said, "We have a volunteer army. That's the reason." So who volunteers? The people that need $20,000, the people that need a university education in a society that can't afford to give all of our sons and daughters the free education that they need because we're wasting all our money on the military-industrial complex. It's a rich man's war. It's a poor man's fight, just like it's always been. And what's Romney worth, like $250 million and something like that? Send this guy back to Utah. Wow. All right. We got another segment coming up for you. NOVAM Radio Network. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our final segment of the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe, sitting in for Mike, and let's hope and hope and hope and send Mike best wishes for a speedy recovery. A little under the weather tonight. I spoke to him a little earlier in Atlanta, and he wants to come back, so hopefully he will be on tomorrow. 800-989-1480. We're just revisiting the Romney deal with his sons choosing not to go into the military. Why in the world would they? They are going to be millionaires, and they function within a millionaire family, so they don't, you know, they don't have to. This is a rich man's war and a poor man's fight, just like always. David writes into calltalkyes at yahoo.com. A number of people have called for a draft, and David says if there is a draft, there will be more visible protesting. That's a good thing. He says the upper-class chicken hawks will weasel out just like NAM. That's absolutely for sure. People in there... just imagine what they are going through. I think probably you've seen this. 99 U.S. soldiers killed themselves last year, the highest rate of suicide in the Army in 26 years of record-keeping. And so that's almost 100, almost 1,000 attempted suicides. 1,000 attempted suicides. That's just absolutely amazing. Isn't there a message there at all? Here's Denny. Ooh. You told me how to pronounce this. What is it? Wenatchee?
Yeah, Denny in Wenatchee, Washington.
Okay, I got it. Denny, hi. You're on the air. I'm doing great. Thanks for joining
me. Hey, good. You know, I was just thinking about Padilla, and, you know, he's just a symptom of what's happened to all of us. You know, starting in 1980 till now, we've had 27 years of right-wing appointments, except for Clinton, who I call Republican light.
Sure.
Onto the Supreme Court. You know, that's how they stole the election in 2000. And think about it. The little man has no recourse.
Damn.
If you win at trial court or are lucky enough to get through an appeals court, you got Clarabelle Thomas and the rest of them sitting up there waiting to hatch at you, you know?
Well, it's obvious that we cannot depend on the mechanisms of government. We can use them at certain times in order to protect ourselves, and that is to say, to get the lesser of the two evils in. But ultimately, if we're going to have renewal in this country, I don't buy this. Let's take our country back. I'm not sure when we, the people, ever really had it. But at different times, the people decided we are going to accomplish certain things in this country, make this country better, make this country fairer, make this country more peaceful. And we did it. So I think we're probably at wit's end about depending on these official sources of change, and we're going to have to take things into our own hands. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Michael in the Bronx. Michael, it's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing good.
Peter.
Good, good.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just wanting to join in the discussion regarding the presidential candidates, and particularly about Giuliani.
Sure.
But I disagree with the previous caller. I think you cannot take it easy on Giuliani, since he is just like Bush, with the exception that Giuliani is not stupid. This guy lies, he connives, he's instituted policies that has hurt and at times even killed his critics, including minorities, with the plaguing of NYPD officers. And now I got a scoop for everybody in regarding to Giuliani, that there is a judge in New York City that was appointed by him that's now facing scrutiny and a probe by the State Commission of Judicial Conduct for her misconduct on the bench. Now, she is one of at least three judges appointed by Giuliani who has had a history of throwing out the law, throwing out the Constitution, just throwing away the proper conduct of a judicial appointee.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, are you sure the mayor can appoint judges?
This happened in New York City, yes.
No, no, I know. But I never heard of a mayor being able to appoint a judge. But he's got enough in his past. You're right. I mean,
we just got to keep up on it. And it renews my thing that judges should be elected, not appointed by politicians for political purposes.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Here is Jeff on LSD in San Diego. That's the radio station, KLSD. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter. I had a response to that neocon that wanted to nuke Baghdad.
Oh, come on. He was an out-and-out fascist. He's no neocon. Go ahead. That's where neocons wind up, though, for sure.
Oh, right. Well, what we need to do is nuke them. We need to get all of them in a small confined space and nuke them. There has to either that or I'm like trying to think, how do we like cure, you know, conservatism, you know? And you know, I'm thinking, you know, there's a great line in a movie that I like called Braveheart, where the King of England wants to get rid of all the Scots out of Scotland. Yeah. And his idea is to breed them out, you know, and just like, you know, take a long time and just like through controlled breeding, you know, you just remove a section of the population you don't like.
But, you know, they're such a minority. I mean, they've just able, through bullying tactics, because they're bullies. I mean, all right-wingers are bullies, essentially. And they're mean, and they act scary sometimes. So they're able to bully their way into positions of power because they love power. They love power over people. They love the punitive nature of government. They love to be able to rule others. So what we have to do is just make them act in accordance with their small numbers. Huh?
Well,
let's not nuke them.
well, we need to make their numbers smaller because even with their small numbers, if they're still able to attain positions of power, that means that there's too many of them. So we need to get their numbers down even smaller so they are completely weak and ineffectual to do anything.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Thanks for being our last caller. Apologies to people left on the air. I want to say thanks so much to Billy Foster out there in Phoenix at Nova M Radio Network headquarters for pushing all the right buttons. Kim Macias for spending some time answering phones. It's a real team effort down there. I couldn't do it without all of those folks. And thanks to all of you for listening and calling. And let's do this again, as I said, coming in, whether you're an old hippie and just want to send out good vibes, whether you're a Wiccan or a pagan and you've got some special incantation, or a Christian even, an old atheist like me or Mike, we can stand a few prayers for us. Get Mike back here tomorrow and wish him the best of health. Thank you all, and hopefully I will not be back tomorrow. We'll talk soon further down the road.